Okay, Rabbi Isai, I think it would be helpful if anybody wants to fill in the sign-in sheet, that way we can keep in touch. You might want to wait a day or two before you start to do that. Okay, a few words of introduction before we begin our introduction. Starting this year, Bezos Hashem, after a Dafyomi cycle. Throughout the Dafyomi cycle, I often had the feeling, which was also shared with other members of the Shir, that it was a tease. Many times you go through the Gemaras, flying through. There are Gemaras that are just packed. All Gemaras are packed. The truth is that if we're going to give every Gemara all the time it deserves...
There are Gemaras here.
Oh, okay. Anybody who needs a Gemara? If we're going to give every Gemara the time it deserves, we can be busy with each Gemara forever. But, yeah, Lamaisa, the truth is, we fly through Gemaras, you come through a Masechta like Brachas, having seen a million ideas. If you do this mitzvah, it's like you bought 70,000 korbanos. If you do this, it's like you did this, and that's like you did that. Is there anything more to it? Sometimes you come away with the feeling that learning a piece of Maharal is a lot more profound than learning a piece of Gemara. And often, in the Daf Yomi Shir, a very standard comment was, a standard thing I would say in the Shir was, there's more to this, but we have to move on. And it was a very frustrating statement because, first of all, I don't know if anyone believed me. And it's really a shame not to get some more out of it. Especially, by the way, what I do is, a lot of my work involves research, computer research, in Gemaras. When you put any phrase, when you do research on a Gemara, when you put it into one of these databases that have like 40,000 svarim, any phrase from the Gemara brings about tens, if not hundreds, of svarim that discuss it. So, it's really starting to feel more and more that we can get more out of this. We can get more out of this. So, that's really a very big objective here of this year. We're not going to be spending a lot of time. I do want to move. But a very big part of the agenda here is to try to appreciate a little bit more what messages are being brought home here. To try to bring the Gemara to life a bit more. Show how it's relevant to us on a regular basis. Okay. Now, the reason I thought to begin with Masechta Brachos is basically for that very reason. Why is Brachos the first Masechta in Shas? According to many of the Mefarshim, we'll step back for a minute and we'll say as follows. Judaism is very multifaceted. Judaism has a lot to it. What are some of the most fundamental concepts of Yiddishkeit? Torah, Shabbos, Eretz Yisrael. You can go on and on and on. There are 613 fundamental aspects of Yiddishkeit. But sometimes you can lose sight of the forest for the trees. What is the most fundamental concept of Yiddishkeit? The most fundamental concept. If anybody wants... don't have to. What? Hashem is one. The most fundamental concept of Yiddishkeit is Hashem. Everything else about Yiddishkeit just basically is an offshoot of that idea. But sometimes a person can go through many days, even weeks, without thinking about Hashem because he's very busy with Yiddishkeit. He's very busy with Judaism, very busy with mitzvahs, very busy with life. And that's why, first of all, Masechta Brachos prefaces Shas. Shas is a million details. A million details. You start with Zroim, Moed, Nezikin, Noshim, Kodshim, Taras. A million details. We've been busy with in the Daf Yomi Shir with all those details for the last 7.5 years. But there's one point that really captures it all, and that is Hashem Echad. That's the point of Kriyat Shema, and it's also the reason that Chazal began Shas with Shema. Shema per se, and Brachos in a broader sense. Chazal tell us that if you want to really grow, there are three areas of Shas you should involve yourself with. Brachos, Nezikin, that's like Bava Kamba, Bava Matzia, Bava Basra, and Pirkei Avos. Brachos, Mefarshim explain this for a very basic reason. First of all of Judaism is about your relationship with Hashem. So first of all, base your relationship with Hashem. Get a solid basis. That basis is in Brachas. Brachas is all about our direct relationship with Hashem. The rest of Shas is details of that. But Brachas basically sets down our relationship with Hashem through the tefillahs we daven, through the Brachas we recite, and first and foremost, through Kriya Shema. The others? Okay, we'll get to the others. Perkei Avos, Nezikin, I hope Bezras Hashem. Get to those also over the years. But we start Masechta Brachas, which starts with Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, everybody knows, is the most fundamental of Jewish recitations. Everybody knows, right? The most irreligious, when they're suddenly faced with a life-threatening situation, Shema comes out automatically. We begin the day with it, and we end the day with it. What's the idea? And the reason I'm dwelling on this is also to really understand what the idea is in our whole limud of Masechta Brachos. We start our day by setting our sights for the day. Wake up in the morning, we start with Hashem Echad. My whole day is just about Hashem Echad. That's all I'm doing throughout the day. My entire life is meant to revolve only around Hashem Echad. Only around my service of Hashem. Basically, there's only one mitzvah in the Torah. Put yourself at Hashem's disposal. And that's expressed in the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So we set our sights at the beginning of the day. I'm about to start the day. Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad obviously means I'm going to do whatever he says. It means many things. It means that every situation that I encounter throughout the day is Hashem Echad. It's just about me and Hashem. I come home after davening and someone annoys me on the way. If I'm with the mindset of Hashem Echad, I hear a message from Hashem. Hashem is saying, you said Hashem Echad a half hour ago. Let's see. I'm throwing you your first curveball. Do you hear Hashem speaking to you in that person's voice and telling you, overcome, prevail? That's Hashem Echad. It's all just Hashem. Hashem Echad means also that the troubles that you're going to face in life, Chas V'Shalom, we shouldn't face any. But the troubles that we face in life also are just Hashem Echad. Hashem is saying, yeah, I'm sending something your way. Can you accept it lovingly? Do you realize that that's Hashem Echad, or is that some quirk that came in kind of out of Hashem's control? Hashem Echad also means all temptation is just Hashem too. You're tempted to do something wrong. Who is it? Yetzer Hara, forces of evil. Who's the Yetzer Hara? No, who writes the Yetzer Hara's paycheck? Who fills it out? Also Hashem. The Yetzer Hara comes to you and tries to tempt you to do something wrong. What it really is Hashem whispering to you in your ear and saying, I want you to grow a little bit more. Here's an opportunity. Yetzer Hara is a stepping stone. Hashem Echad. It's not something that's getting in the way. It's not something that's hindering our progress in our avodas Hashem. Hashem Echad. Another example of making Hashem the focal point of our life. So, that's really what Shema is. Shema is setting our sights for the day, getting ourselves ready. And that's why also the halacha is, it's an interesting halacha, we'll encounter it throughout the Masechta, that Shema should be recited as early as possible in the day. We know that there's a din vasikin. It's good to recite Shema before an Eitzach Hamo. But even if you didn't, the halacha is, lechatchila, you're not making an Eitzach Hamo. You figure, I'll take care of a few things, go to daven a little later. The halacha is, halacha lemaisa, Shema should be recited as early as possible, even if it's not Neitz. Why? Answer is obvious. The day is not supposed to start before Shema. The day starts with Shema. Shema is the definition of your entire day. And we also end the day with Shema. Throughout the day, all kinds of things do come up. We're distracted in all kinds of ways. Yeah, in a theoretical way, we know that if someone annoys me, it's Hashem Echad. But not when that fellow annoys me. That's really annoying. He's an exception to the rule. Sometimes we mess up throughout the day. Sometimes we fail in our tests. At the end of the day, we sit down and we review our day again in the light of Hashem Echad. We remind ourselves. Maybe we lost our focus a little bit. Maybe it deviated. So we come back and we say again, Hashem Echad. From Israel Talbot. I'll just share this and then we'll begin Bezos Hashem. Amish, a beautiful idea. This is not connected to Kriya Shema Ma'ariv per se, but Kriya Shema Lamita. The first thing we say at Kriya Shema Lamita, the Seder of Kriya Shema Lamita, is a little section which we basically say, I'm moichel anybody who did anything against me in this way, in that way, in this way, in that way. And then we go ahead and we say Shema. What's the connection between that declaration of forgiveness and Shema? And the answer is basically what we've been discussing now. Throughout the day, someone does something to me, and I get caught up in it, and I'm upset, and I get mad. And it's that person. But then, when I'm lying down in bed, and I'm ending my day, and I'm getting my perspective back in place, and I remind myself, oh, 1 minute, Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad, this was just sent to me as a challenge. Oh, so now I can already say, Hareini Moichel, I'm ready to forgive. I'm reminding myself that it was really just a challenge from Hashem. So, that's why we start our day with Hashem Echad, we end our day with Hashem Echad, and that's why we start Shas with Hashem Echad also. That's setting our sights about everything in life, about everything in our Yiddishkeit, it's really just Hashem Echad. Really all just about our relationship with Hashem. Now, just one more note, which is going to especially be important for the first stuff that we're going to learn. Really, again, all of Yiddishkeit, all it is really just a relationship with Hashem. A love affair. That's really what it is. It's about an intimate relationship with Hashem. And the truth is, you often hear, well, whether it's on a plane or wherever it is that you get into discussions about faith with other people, you say, isn't the main thing that your heart is in the right place? Isn't the main thing that you love Hashem, you know that Hashem loves you, and all the details and this and that. The main thing is the idea of the mitzvah. Shabbos is such a beautiful idea. We rest with Hashem. You have to ruin it with all the intricate halachas and the nitty gritty and all that. Shema also. Shema is really just about saying, all of my world is me and Hashem. Anything that I'm going to be doing throughout my day is about me and Hashem. It's my interaction with Hashem. So, again, we have to ruin it with details. We have to ruin it with starting to get into, well, exactly at what time does it start? Does it start at Seisach HaChavim? Or maybe it's 3 minutes before that? Or maybe it's 2.5 minutes after that? That's what we're going to be busy with on Amud Beis. You're going to have about five or six opinions, all about the same 7 minutes, but maybe 45 seconds later, maybe 30 seconds earlier. It seems to ruin the idea of, 1 minute, isn't this just about a beautiful relationship between me and Hashem? Why ruin it with all this nitty gritty? But the answer is that yes, really it's all just about having your heart in the right place. That's all it's about. But let's take an example. What happens if you miss your wife's birthday? You remember 3 days later. So, oh honey, I'm sorry, but don't worry about it. You know that I love you, my heart is in the right place. How will that go over? No. It's not enough for your heart to be in the right place. In any real relationship, it's not enough for your heart to be in the right place. Or, to put it better, it is enough for your heart to be in the right place. But let's see it manifest. Prove that your heart is in the right place. If your heart is in the right place, but your hands and legs stay in their same place also, the heart isn't working very well. The question is, are the feelings of your heart strong enough to get you up and moving? That's the question. Yeah, your heart is in the right place. But can it get you off your bed? Can it get you to sacrifice too? Can it get you to make the efforts to do it exactly right? Right? When you're getting a present for your wife, you have to put thought into making it right. The letter has to be written right as well. Yes, there are dikiduke halacha in any relationship if you really want to prove that your heart is in the right place. And it's also more than that. What's the idea of Hashem Echad? Hashem Echad means that we are the ones chosen to represent Hashem in this world. We're Hashem's ambassadors in this world. Echad. What's the gematria of Echad? 13. How many Shvatim are there in Kol Yisrael? 13 Shvatim. If we include Levi and Ephraim and Menashe. We are the ambassadors of Hashem in this world. We are the ones who were chosen to represent Him in this world. part of appreciating that role is, yes, making the efforts to make sure we do it 100% right. And therefore, a beautiful part of our relationship with Hashem is the nitty-gritty of Hashem gave an instruction, we're the ones implementing it in this world, we're going to work hard to make sure we get it exactly right. We're going to debate about it for hours, for days, for weeks, in order to make sure that we get it exactly right, in order to make sure that we're doing it perfectly. That's the idea of the dikdukim, of the nitty-gritty, of the intricacies. And that's also in a very, very broad way. We'll be seeing much more of this as we go along. So now we'll begin.
Well, actually, I think there's not a sifter in the day that we end our day with the Krishna, the last thing. So in the stomach, we should, you know, the first thing out of our mouths in the morning, really more than anything, should be Shema Yisrael.
Why don't we begin with Shema Yisrael?
Okay, so I understand there's nates, but like a person wakes up after nates, and they don't get out of bed, say,
you're asking why do we have the other parts of the tefillah that come first?
Yeah, there's a big work up to Shema Yisrael in the morning.
Good question. We'll see. You know what? That's what I'm part of what our Masechta is about. There is a machloikis. Well, okay, we'll see. We'll see as we go along. In order to really say Hashem Echad, you have to be in the right mindset also. Hashem Echad sets the right mindset, but there are a few things that we consider before we say Hashem Echad that enhance our Hashem Echad. Before saying Hashem Echad, we focus on the fact that he right now, and there's a sun coming up, the world doesn't run on Shabbos clock. So you tend to think there are two. Thank you for that question. It's going to delay us a few more minutes, but it's worth it. We tend to think that there are two types of things. There's nature, and then there's nes. There's miracle. Nature, what is Derech HaTeva? Derech HaTeva is kind of like a Shabbos clock. It's the way the world runs automatically, unless Hashem decides to change something. But that's a mistake. There's no Shabbos clock in this world. We have Shabbos clocks, Hashem doesn't. Derech HaTeva, the way the Chazanish defines it, Rabbi Avigdor Miller said the same thing, Derech HaTeva simply is Hashem's predictable schedule. Nes is when Hashem deviates from his normal schedule. If we see the sun, the earth orbiting around the sun, that's not a Shabbos clock. That's Hashem doing it manually. So when we see in the morning the sun coming up, we wake up in the morning and we see Hashem preparing a day for us. We know what Hashem is busy with right now. It's not automatic. Before we say Hashem Echad, let's appreciate that. Let's appreciate the fact that He's bringing up a sun for us. That this is something that's not running automatically because it's been this way for the last 5,700 years, so why not today too? No. It's like, think of it this way. Let's say I predictably... I'll confess that I'm not predictably at the same minion every day. But let's say I were. Abstain is. Same minion every day. Like a clock. Now, does that mean that it's automatic? Let's say if you know that I'm going to be at the 7 o'clock minion every day. Well, it's the same struggle to get out of bed every day. It's not automatic. It might be predictable after a while, but it's not automatic. It's not something to be taken for granted in the sense that it happens automatically. That's the way it is with Hashem also. Hashem, it's not a struggle. He doesn't have to bounce out of bed. But it's not automatic. It's something that He's doing consciously all the time. And not just the sun coming up, but the fact that our body is operating. That's not a Shabbos clock either. It means that Hashem is busy in there making everything run. That's why you start with Asher Yotzar also. And we'll get to all these things. We spend a lot of time on these things, Bezus Hashem. So therefore, first we note, Hashem made a day for us. That sun coming up is something to take personally. Then we move on to the fact that it's not just for us, but it's for us. It's not just for the world per se. But Ahava Rabba Avtanu, the reason Hashem is bringing up that sun is for the Jewish people. For those of us here, you focus on these things a little bit, your Hashem Echad is a different Hashem Echad. So really what we're doing is, when we're saying Hashem Echad, is getting that mindset, and really, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. We're ready to accept our role as Hashem's servants. After seeing what He's doing for us, we respond in kind.
Before we begin, I have a question, I don't know if it's relevant or not, but why why don't yeshivas learn brachas? Right, you never find that any of the yeshivas that they learn
The way the yeshivas generally define their role is to train people to learn, not to learn per se. They're not here to learn per se, it's to train people to learn. The best places to train people to learn is Noshim and Ezekim because of the intellectual challenge that's there. But the truth is, people shouldn't stay with that and continue throughout life with just that. Move on. To conquer it all.
I heard there was Jews came to America and they started to have yeshivas in America. And a question was posed during Moshe Fari's speech as to what the savior of tomorrow should be. And he actually said that it should be Hamafki, because it teaches ethics.
Teaches ethics.
As opposed to starting with the office, which would have been a logical choice, he said, well, we'll start with Hamafki.
Quite so. Yeah. Okay. After having prefaced all our prefaces, we'll actually begin learning some brachas. So we'll start the Mishnah. From when do we begin the Ma'ariv Shema? As we said, Hashem told us, kind of in a vague way, B'shach b'chol kumecha, when you lie down, when you go to bed, which means the time when people go to sleep. How do we define that? So, Mishor shakoyhanim nichnosim lecho b'trumasam. Forget brachas for a minute, Rabbi Yisrael. Chazal couldn't find a clearer way of putting it down and telling us 8 o'clock. Well, that refers to some other concept. When a kohen, who's tamei, how does it work? A kohen becomes tamei, goes to the mikveh. When does he become fully tahar? At nightfall. So, in other words, this is a way of saying nightfall. When a kohen who became tamei becomes tahar, which is at nightfall, and he's allowed to eat truma, that's the time to say Shema. That, at this point, was a simpler way of saying it than just saying nightfall. Shkoyev, maybe soon.
Nightfall, you have clouds, you can make a mistake.
What? Kohanim would make the same mistake.
What?
Kohanim would make the same mistake.
I don't know.
Let's see. What's that?
They would know the time.
Let's see. But meanwhile, that's the way we're expressing it. From when the kohanim going to eat, which basically means nightfall, as we'll see in the Gemara. Until when? Ad soifah shmor rishayna. Again, a little bit of riddles. Until the end of the first shift. What shift? Well, the malachim. There are shifts of malachim saying shira in the shamayim every night. When you hear the malachim finish singing, you know that the first shift, you know that the time for kriya shema has ended. Okay? Clear? Everybody is okay with that? You don't hear? Okay, let's see. Meanwhile, Chazal is speaking in riddles. We'll let the Gemara deal with it. So again, you begin when the kohanim are allowed to eat their truma after they were tamei. You finish at the end of the first shift. That's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Chachamim say, until midnight. Okay, here at least we have something more defined. And Gamliel says, no, you have all night until the morning star goes up, to the beginning of morning. Okay, so we have a machloikis here. Meanwhile, the beginning of this man is unanimous, from when the kohanim begin eating truma. The end of this man, up till when's the deadline for kriyashma, either the end of the first shift, midnight, or morning. Now, Maisa ubo banav mi beis hamishta. There was an incident where Gamliel's son came home from a wedding very late, and it was already past midnight. Amru loy loy karinu shema, and they told him, we didn't say Shema. What do we do? Did we miss it? Omar lohem. So he told them, im loy olo amud ashacha chayovim atem likros. No, as long as the morning star didn't go up, you still can say Shema, you didn't miss it yet. Now his point is, as we'll see in the Gemara, that even though the Chachamim said midnight, he's not coming here to push his opinion against the Chachamim. You know that we go by the majority. The majority said midnight. His point is, even though the Chachamim said midnight, you're still okay. Because they really agree that the time is until the morning. Just, they said midnight for the following reason. This is not the only case where the Chachamim said midnight, but actually intended until the morning. Anywhere the Chachamim set a deadline for a mitzvah at Chatzos, mitzvason ad sheya le'amud hashachar. The mitzvah really is until morning. For example, hekter chalovim ve'ivorim. When we burn a carbon that's been offered during the day, you burn it throughout the night. Mitzvason ad sheya le'amud hashachar. Really, you're allowed to continue burning the carbon all throughout the night. There are many karbanis that you eat the day it was slaughtered and the following night. The Chachamim said you can eat it up until midnight. So here also, Rabban Gamliel says, mitzvoson ad sheya le'amud hashachar. Really, the mitzvah is until morning. So if so, why did the Chachamim say that it's only until midnight? And here's the famous answer: kedei lahachik adam min haaveiros. It's in order to keep us away from haaveiros. Meaning, essentially, midoraisa, the time is until morning. Just the Chachamim had the pragmatic concern that if we're going to give you until morning, you might schlep it out and end up missing it. Or more specifically, we'll see in the Gemara, a person might decide to take a nap. That's what the Chachamim were really concerned about. A person might decide to take a nap and figure he'll wake up before morning. So in order to, and then, we know the way it works, or I know the way it works. Once you're in bed, you don't get up so fast. So therefore, the Chachamim said, they set the deadline at midnight, but, and Gamliel is saying, if you miss the midnight deadline, certainly, you can still make it up until the morning. Generally in the Gemara it does. Generally in the Gemara Mishnah refers to a wedding. In the Gemara. Generally. You're right, in Nachashverosh's case it didn't. But that generally, based on Mishnah, the Gemara refers to a wedding.
So it also continues to indicate that they were slightly numerous.
Right.
So therefore, that's why
the rule was to say before midnight. That's a good point. Quite possibly. Well, the mission is bringing it in to show that really the Chachamim agree with Rav Gamliel. But we'll see it expounded on in the Gemara.
Specifically, when is the first rays come in the locus? What do we take as the first rays come up or when it's light across?
Well, what do we take as the halacha? The truth is that is a machloikis. No, I'm not sure. In a general way, we say when the first light first begins breaking. Yeah, when the first signs of light begin breaking. Okay, fine. So we have a whole Mishnah discussing the times of Kriya Shema. And now the Gemara is going to go back and illustrate how we don't take anything for granted. Tana hecha koi diktani me'emosai. After my whole preface, the Mishnah sounded very natural. But the truth is, the Gemara points out that there's something very important missing in the Mishnah. What's the Mishnah coming off when it says from when? First, tell us there's a mitzvah to say Kriya Shema. Then say, when does it begin? Where's the Tanakh coming off? That's question number one. Vesu, and number two, Maishna did Tani ba'arvis bereisha. Why do we begin with the nighttime Shema? Listening to Shachris bereisha. Why don't we begin with the morning Shema? The Gemara answers both questions in one shot. Tana akrokoi. The Tana is based on the pasuk. The Tana did not have to introduce the obligation to recite Kriya Shema because there's a pasuk to that effect. Iksid, the pasuk says, Bishach Bicha Ukumecha. You should recite these things, the pasuk says. After saying Shema, you should recite these things when you lie down and when you get up. So we know that there's a chiyuv. So that answers question number one. Question number two also is answered because we asked, why did we start with night? Why not start with the morning? Answer is, we took our cues from the pasuk. The Torah said, nighttime and then morning. That's what we did too. So therefore, the Mishnah is coming right off the pasuk. Zman kriya shema d'shchiva emas. The Torah says you should say shema when you lie down, which means at the time that people begin going to sleep. It does not mean when you go to sleep. It means at the time when people begin going to sleep. When is that? We have to, Chazal have to assess, how do we define standard bedtime? So we define that as from the time that the Kohanim go in to eat their truma, which as we'll see soon is nightfall, that's standard general time that people begin going to sleep. Now I'm stressing for a reason that it's not individual. It's not when you go to sleep. On the contrary, you shouldn't save Kriya Shema for when you're in bed. Rabbi Yehuda stresses this. Since, as we said, the concept of Kriya Shema is accepting upon yourself Oil Malchus Shemaim, right? Committing yourself to Hashem's service, don't do that in bed. Do that when you're sitting up and in a solemn state. There's practical implications of this. Many times, we make early Shabbos. You're going to be reciting Kriya Shema again later. You're going to be repeating it later. Lechatchila, don't wait until you go to sleep to say it then. Say it when you're sitting up at the table, dressed, in a solemn state. But, so therefore again, the question is, how do we define in a general way, when do people begin going to bed? And that's the answer. Or, we have another answer for question number two. Question number two was, why did we start with nighttime? Yalif mibriyasei shalolam. Even better answer. We're going by the creation of the world. We're following Hashem's cues. It says in the pasuk, "Vayi erev, vayi voiker yom echad." It was night, and then it was morning, and we have a day. So, the truth is that the Gemara initially was bothered by the fact that it was starting with nighttime, because daytime is the main time of our activity. That's when we're up and serving Hashem. Nighttime, like we said, is kind of closing things up. Why start there? Start when we start our activity. But the answer is no. We see that the Torah does go with night before day, and therefore that's the pattern we follow too. Now there's, I'll just note in parentheses that there's a reason for that also. And we all know this famous idea that in Judaism night comes before day. There's profundity in that. In the outside world, day comes before night. Why? You work hard throughout the day. At night you plop into bed for a well-deserved sleep. But in Yiddishkeit, it's the other way around. We go to sleep at night in order to be able to serve Hashem the next day. So therefore, yes, it's not night following day. It's day following night. We go to sleep because we want to wake up in the morning energized. So sleeping is a preparation for the next day. Okay.
According to the Western world, it's in the middle of the night.
Middle of the night till the middle of the day. Right? Right? Maybe they start with Tikkun Chatzos. Okay. So now the Gemara is okay. So then the proper route to follow is night and then day. Iachi, if so, say for diktani, or a minute. What does the next Mishnah say? The next Mishnah says, Beshacha mevarich shtayim lefanel v'achas l'acharel. After we determine the times for Kriya Shema in the night and then in the morning, we move on to the point that you raised. There are brachas that we say before and after Kriya Shema. And the Mishnah says, well, in the morning Shema, we say two brachas before, one bracha afterwards. And in the evening, we say two brachas before and two brachas afterwards. But 1 minute, we said that the pattern to follow is night and then day. Listen, there are this bereisha. Why don't we do night and then day there too? So the Gemara answers something of a technical answer. Tane posach be'arvis. The Tane began with nighttime, as we discussed. That's the appropriate order to follow. The Hoda Tani b'shachris, and we followed with day. We start with the time for Kriya Shema at night, then the time for Kriya Shema at day. Ad dekoy b'shachris. But once it's on the subject of shachris of the morning, parish mili d'shachris. So it continues with the subject of shachris. Instead of flitting back tonight and starting to discuss the brachas that we say at night, we continued with the morning Kriya Shema. We start discussing the morning brachas. V'hada parish mili d'arvis. And then we get back to arvis. In general, let's remember that Mishnayos were meant to be learned by heart and to be memorized by heart. So often we find the Mishnayos dafka setting, being set up in a way that simply makes it easier to remember. Okay, so there. Point number one, we've finished. The Tana is really not introducing Kriya Shema here. Kriya Shema is introduced in the Pasuk. The Tana is simply moving on to define what the Pasuk leaves ambiguous. When exactly does the time start? Okay. And now we get back to the actual time. As we said, the Mishnah chose a funny way of expressing it. Instead of telling us the time, the Mishnah said, well, you know the halacha that a Tamei Kayan has to wait until nightfall and then eat his truma? When he eats his truma, you can say Kriya Shema. So Amar Ma, the Mishnah had said, Mishar Shakayanim Nichnosim Lechol V'Trumosim. You can begin reciting Kriya Shema when the Kayanim go in to eat their truma. Now Michli, let's see. Kayanim Emas Kla'atli Truma. The Mishnah leaves it for us to figure out. When do the Kayanim eat their truma? Mish'as Tzeisak Rechavim. From Tzeisak Rechavim, from the time that the stars emerge. So listen, Mish'as Tzeisak Rechavim. Why can't the Mishnah be straight with us? He says, from the time that the stars emerge, from nightfall. And the Gemara answers, Milse Agav Orche Komashmala. The Tana is trying to kill two birds with one stone. You're right. All the Mishnah meant to say is you start reciting Kriya Shema at nightfall. But it wanted to tell us another point. Kayhanim emas ka'afi b'truma. Once we're at it, we're going to let you know that that's also the time that Kayhanim eat their truma. Nish'at se'esak l'chavim. The Mishnah is hinting that that is in fact the time that the Kayhanim eat their truma. Because as we'll see in a minute, when the Pasuk discusses a Kayhan who's tamei, what his procedure is, the Torah leaves it a bit ambiguous when exactly he's allowed to eat truma. It says he goes to the mikveh, then there's a few details, and then he can eat his truma. And it's a little bit ambiguous. Therefore, the Mishnah is kind of taking a ride on the fact that we're introducing Kriya Shema and we're letting you know. You want to know when the Kayanim can eat truma? It's the same time as Kriya Shema, which means nighttime.
It's still out of left field.
It's still out of left field. That's true. Yes. 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 Oh, we'll see. We're gonna see what you're saying on the next Talmud. All kinds of different ways that we could have expressed Tzeisak Rechavim. Right. Right. But the truth is that again, Gemara is telling us here that there was a specific need to use the Kayanim as our reference, because with the Kayanim we had the same problem. We didn't know exactly when their time is either. So by putting them together with Kriya Shema, we understand that they both begin at nightfall.
We've assumed what we're trying to prove.
What?
We've assumed what we're trying to prove.
Oh, good question. You're asking a very good question. I want to put it on hold for a few more lines. What's your name?
Jonathan.
Ah. Jonathan is asking, 1 minute. We're not sure when Kayanim eat truma. Right? So we want to tell you that it's at nightfall. Now we're not sure when we recite Kriya Shema either. So you tell, well, you know when Kriya Shema is? When Kayanim eat truma. Oh, and now we know that both are at nightfall. 1 minute. If initially Kriya Shema was a question mark, and you're telling me, well, it equals Kayanim, which is also a question mark, Question mark plus question mark equals question mark. We haven't answered anything. They both could be 3 in the afternoon. So what do we answer here? Let's see. The Hokom Ashmal. And the point that the Mishnah is trying to stress is the Kapara Loi Ma'akiv. That a Kapara is not Ma'akiv. What does that mean? So we're going to have to step out of Kriya Shema for a minute. Let's get into the world of Kehanim, Truma, and Tumah and Tare. When a Kohen becomes Tameh, let's say the Kohen becomes very Tameh, he becomes a Zav. Well, let's say Metzora, okay? Metzora is just a more familiar concept. He becomes a Metzora. The truth is that there are three stages to his Tara. His Tara doesn't come in one shot. It comes gradually. When he's ready, when he's finished all the processes, he goes to the mikveh. The first stage of his Tara is going to the mikveh. When he goes to the mikveh, he's somewhat Tahar. At nightfall, he becomes even more Tahar. Then the next morning, he brings a karbon. Metzora has to bring a karbon in order to become completely Tahar. The next morning, he brings a karbon, and then he's all the way Tahar. So if we'll talk in terms of percentages, goes to the mikveh, he's a third Tahar. Nightfall hits, he's two-thirds Tahar. He brings his karbon the next morning, and now he's 100% Tahar. What's the implications of all this? Is there anything wrong with only being two-thirds Tahar? And their answer is that there are different things that depend on different degrees of Tahara. For example, as soon as a Kohen is even basically Tahar, he went to the mikveh, he's a third Tahar, he can already eat Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni is something that's Kadosh, but it's a lower level of Kedusha. He can eat Maaser Sheni as soon as he's been to the mikveh. But he can't eat Truma yet. Truma you have to wait with. Nightfall hits, now he's two-thirds Tahar. That's already good enough for Truma. But he still can't eat Karbanos. Karbanos are even more Kadosh than Truma. The next morning he brings his Karbon, now he's 100% Tahar, and now he can eat Karbanos. But the truth is, I'm coming at the end of the day, after the Gemara already worked it all out. That's the procedure. Three stages. Stage number one, he can eat Maaser, goes to the mikveh, can eat Maaser. At nightfall, two-thirds Tahar, can eat Truma. In the morning, he brings his Karbon, he's 100% Tahar. But the Pasuk is a little bit ambiguous. The Pasuk is not, when the Pasuk talks about eating Truma, the Pasuk is not so clear. He goes to the mikveh, can eat Maaser. Then, the way the Pasuk puts it is, when things clear away, he can eat Truma. If we're going to go with the literal meaning of the Pasuk, that's how it's expressed. Goes to the mikveh, then when things clear away, he can eat Truma. What exactly does that mean? That can mean one of two things. It can either mean when the day clears away, which means nightfall. Or it can mean when his tumah clears away, which is when he brings his karbon. Maybe there is no in-between stage. Maybe there's no two-thirds. Maybe the Torah says, you go to the mikveh, you can eat maaser. Then when it clears away, meaning when your tumah clears completely away, when you bring your karbon, then you can eat truma and karbonis. There might only be two stages. So if we just go with the pasuk that says that when things clear away you can eat truma, that might mean nightfall. It also might mean the next morning. So we're not sure about that. Now, here I think we're coming to the answer of your question. If that's our suffix, whether the Torah meant nightfall or the next morning, by coming and saying that it's the same time as Kriya Shema, even though we don't know exactly when Kriya Shema is, we do know that Kriya Shema of the evening is sometime in the evening. We don't know exactly when it is, right? But we do know that it's sometime in the evening. We do know that you don't say the Meir of Kriya Shema the next morning. So therefore, when the Mishnah comes and says, we're not sure about Kehanim if they begin eating Truma at night or the next morning. No, they start eating Truma when you say the nighttime Shema. Ah! So now we know that Kohanim begin eating Truma at night. And it's symbiotic. Once we know that they begin eating Truma at night, it means when the day clears away, that's how we understand the Pasuk, that means nightfall. Once we know that that means nightfall, we've pinpointed Shema as well. That's the back and forth here, and that's really the answer to your question of how we answer one question mark with another. Now let's see that in the Gemara. Welcome Ashmal and the Kapara Loi Ma'ar. By the Mishnah telling us that the Kohanim eating their truma and Kriya Shema at the same time, the Mishnah is really coming to tell us that no, you do not have to wait for your karban in order to eat truma. You don't have to wait for the next morning. This karban is called a kapara. The kapara does not hold you back from eating truma. Kedetanya, like it says in the Braisa, Uba Hashemesh V'Toher. Again, this is that pasuk telling us when Kohanim can eat truma. The pasuk is very ambiguous. It says when the sun comes around and when it clears away. When the sun comes around and when it clears away can mean either mean when the sun comes around at night, goes down and clears away, or it can mean when the sun comes in the morning, uba, when the sun comes in the morning and the truma clears away. So those words, when the sun comes and it clears away, can either mean nightfall or morning. The pasuk itself is not clear. And therefore, the Braisa stresses, Bias Shimshay Na'akavta Milechol B'Truma. No, it's only the sun coming down that holds you back from eating truma. Ve'en Kaparosay Ma'akavta Milechol B'Truma. You do not have to wait for the next morning until you bring your karban, your kapara, in order to eat truma. So that's how the two come together. So now the Gemara says, okay, so 1 minute. Again, the pasuk says, when the sun comes and when it clears away. We said that that in and of itself is ambiguous. So the Bais says, no, well, it means when night falls. Who said? Again, we have to have everything very clear. Who said? Meanwhile, it's just assertion. Our Mishnah asserted that that's so. The Bais asserted that that's so. But where do we see it in the pasuk itself? The pasuk remains ambiguous. So the Gemara is, who said, Dehai uba Hashemesh, Bias Hashemesh? Who said that when the sun comes means when the sun comes down? Dehai v'toher tahar yoima. And when it says when it clears away, you can eat truma, it means when the day clears away. Meaning, who said to interpret this pasuk as referring to nightfall? Dilma bias leirayu. Maybe when the pasuk says when the sun comes and it clears away, it means when the sun comes up, or my v'toher tahar gavra. And when it says and when it clears away, it means when the man becomes tahor, when his tumah clears away. So again, yes, very nice. The Mishnah is assuming that the pasuk means nightfall. The Brice is assuming that the pasuk means nightfall. But what's the basis for it? The pasuk is ambiguous. Omar Rabbi Barav Shila. Rabbi Barav Shila says, 1 minute, let's pinpoint the question. The key word here is v'tahor, which either means when the day clears away, or when the tumah clears away, i.e., when the man becomes tahor. Is tahor as in day clearing away, or is it as in tahor? So the Gemara says, if it meant the latter, in kainle makrevi yita, if it meant wait for when the man becomes completely tahor, wait for when the tumah clears away, it should be clearer. It should say when the sun comes and he becomes tahor, which would mean the morning. My v'tahor. Why does the pasuk use that more ambiguous term? It's not clearly referring to the man. Just when it clears away, he can eat truma. When it clears away means when the day clears away. Sounds like a strange expression for nightfall, when the day clears away? It isn't. Kedamri inchi. That was actually a commonly used expression in those times. I'arib shimshin v'idaki yoimah. It was a common expression. The sun set and the day cleared away. So therefore, yes, that is what the pasuk means. Uba Hashemesh v'toher. You want to know when a kohen can eat truma? When the sun comes and it, meaning the day, the sun, the daylight clears away, then he can eat truma. So, what's that? Why don't we entertain the Bahamim of Shkia?
Right. That's when the sun. You just assume that it's night, that it must be.
Good question. Oh, good question. You're bringing a fundamental question here in general. We always have two frames of references for night, Shkia and Tisker Chavim. Why are we riding with Tisker Chavim as opposed to Shkia? So, what's that? of Shkia as opposed to Tzeis.
Or any other time of night.
Oh, okay, good. Right. So the truth is that, let's continue with the line I've been going with meanwhile. The, as we'll see soon, halachically, Shkia is not nightfall. Nightfall is Tzeis HaKachavim, we're going to prove that soon from Psukim, very clearly. Nightfall is Tzeis HaKachavim. And therefore, if we talk about the day clearing away, halachically that means Tzeis HaKachavim. Therefore, once we know that the Kohanim are meant to eat their truma at night, we have no question that that means Tzeis HaKachavim. Just, with Kriya Shema, it wasn't as clear as that. Because the Torah doesn't say to say Kriya Shema at night. The Torah says to say Kriya Shema when you go to sleep. That depends when people start going to sleep. That didn't have to be Tzeis HaKachavim. So therefore, we're drawing on Truma. But Truma was a clear-cut question. Is it morning or nightfall? Once we know that it's not morning, we know that it's Tzeis HaKachavim. And then we've answered the question of Kriya Shema. We know is nighttime at some time. Because halachically, Shkia is not night. We're going to see soon a pasuk that clearly brings out that halachically, Tzeis HaKachavim defines nightfall. And by the Kohanim it says when the day clears away. Day clears away means when night hits. So by the Kohanim there was a very clear suffix. It's either nightfall or morning. If it's not morning, then it's nightfall, which is Tzeis by definition. Tzeis HaKachavim. We didn't have any question by the Kohanim of when at night is it. It's either Tzeis HaKachavim or morning. Like Kriya Shema, we knew that it's not morning. We know that it's sometime at night. We just didn't know when at night. That's how the two feed off the other. When we say that the Kohanim is the same as Kriya Shema, we know that it's obviously not morning. It's sometime at night. Once we know that it's night, we know that it's Tzeis HaKachavim. Once we know that the Kohanim are Tzeis HaKachavim because it's not morning, we know that Kriya Shema also is Tzeis HaKachavim. But for different reasons. Again, by the Kohanim, it's because the Torah, once the Torah doesn't mean morning, it means night. Night is Tzeis HaKachavim. Kriya Shema did not have to be night. Could have just been when people go to sleep. If people would go to sleep at 4 in the afternoon, it would be then. But the Mishnah says that no, the time that people go to sleep happens to be Tzeis HaKachavim. It's coincidental. We'll see that in the Gemara soon. And the two are the same. Okay. Now, the Ma'arove in Eretz Yisrael, Hod de Rabbe Bar Shile lo shmi aluhu. They didn't hear Rabbi Bar Shila's answer, meaning they still had this pasuk with its ambiguity. Pasuk says, when the sun comes and it clears away, and they still didn't know, does that mean nighttime or morning? And they didn't hear Rabbi Bar Shila's answer. So they still had the same question. Hi, uba shemes bia shimshayhu? When the pasuk says, the sun comes, does it mean the sun coming down? Or my vitoyer tar yoimo? And then when the pasuk says v'tayer, it means the day clears away, meaning nightfall. That's when a kohen eats truma. Oy dilma bias oylehu. Or maybe it means when the sun comes up. Or my v'tayer tar gavra. And when it says, and when it's tayer, when it clears away, it means the man becomes tayer. V'hada pashto lami b'raisa. They had an answer from the b'raisa, mediktani b'braisa. Because the Braisa says, Simin Lidavar Tzeis HaKachavim. If you want to know what it means, if the day clears away, it refers to Tzeis HaKachavim. So Shema Mino B'Yashim Shoyu, since the Braisa says that it is Tzeis HaKachavim, we see that it means the sun coming down. Omai V'Toher Tahar Yoyma. And what does it mean by clearing away? That the day clears away, and that it's Tzeis HaKachavim as opposed to morning. Okay? We'll stop here for today. Now I'll just add that the truth is that the question that you raised, according to Tosis, that's really the Gemara's question. And the Gemara is wondering, what does it mean? It's not really entertaining the possibility that it's morning. It's entertaining the question of, does it mean Shkia or Tzeis HaKachavim? That's how Tosis tackles the Gemara. The Gemara ends up concluding that Tzeis HaKachavim is opposed to Shkia. So, you're right on target. Okay. Alright. What's that? On a selective basis, meaning there will be in different Gemaras I'm going to treat different ways. This Gemara I felt I should really more just focus on getting it across clearly. but we will draw on, depending on the nature of the Gemara, we'll draw on. It's not going to be Daf Yomi this little bit. There's going to be a lot more discussion, just that Gemara's that I feel we need more, just focus on the clarity, we'll do that with.